Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news just happened live on WWE Backstage. And guess what? I'm here to talk about it. So, coming up, another episode, Breaking It Down, Brian H., keeping it 100.
No, baby, that's for somebody else. We're just going to keep you right where you're at right now.
The Wrestling Realm presents Break It Down with Brian H.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this episode of Break It Down with Brian H. I'm your host, Brian H. Waters. What's up, my man? Ill fam in the building, commenting on the YouTube channel. Let's get ready. I got my main man, the one and only. It's Blizz. I don't know. I let him decide if he's going to give out his government, and he didn't put it on the screen, so that's up to him. Yo.
Yo, what it is, Jive Turkeys.
Let's get right into it. Edge and Randy Orton. I should say Randy Orton Edge. We got to do this the correct way in the English language.
Yes, sir. Name
the number one and number two entrance in this year's Royal Rumble. How you feeling about it?
It shocked. Very shocked, but it's like anticipation. Like, I've been telling people for the last month, I haven't been this excited for like a Royal Rumble. Like, you're always excited for the Royal Rumble, right? But like the suspense and everything that's going along with this Royal Rumble, like, this is the most you don't really have an inkling who's going to win that I felt in a long time. So to see these two started off, and these are big picks by a lot of people. So to see these two starting it off is just like, yeah, boy, it's Mania season, baby.
Yeah, man, it's definitely Mania season. Just want to put the quick reminder out. Oh, man, what happened to Blake? Okay, there we go. Just want to put the quick reminder out there. If you haven't done so, go ahead, hit the subscribe button on the YouTube channel. Go ahead and download it on the Apple Podcast, Google, Spotify, Google. I said Google, iHeart, and Pandora. You know, the thing is, I look at it two ways. So I know they had the match with Natty and Tamina, which obviously we got you on here. So we're definitely going to talk women's wrestling. But the thing is, I was like, you know what? They're putting these people, they're letting us know. Part of me feels like, man, like you said, the suspense, right? But considering this is a pandemic, this is different. I think they wanted to let us know they're going to start off hot. Right. Yeah. And what better way than Randy Orton and Edge? We know the history that these two have from being a tag partner to having the greatest wrestling match ever that took place at Backlash. You know, so I actually I'm not mad with it. And I think because it's these two, you can't even guarantee. We saw Davey Boy Smith and Shawn Michaels go one and two all the way through. And if I'm not mistaken, it was the 2004 Royal Rumble where Chris Benoit and Triple H went one and two all the way to the end. Or maybe it was another one where Triple H was involved where he was the number two entrant and he went all the way to the final four. So that's what I'm looking at, you know. How about you?
I look at it too, like, when you put wrestlers like this at one and two, especially names like this, it's that workhorse, right? You know, this is the workhorse feeling. And you know these are going to be guys that they might not – they may not make it to the end. But you know they're going to at least give you anywhere between 25, 30 minutes if needed. So to start it off, especially – this is the first Royal Rumble of this kind, you know, without a live crowd. So in order to pump people up even more for the Rumble – doing it like this with these two, and like you said, the last time we saw Edge in the ring was with Randy Orton, you know, and it's like for 9 months we've been like, huh, what's next? What's next? And it's like, this could be something that continues that chapter, ends that chapter, or puts another story into it all in the Royal Rumble, and it might not even be needed for WrestleMania now.
Oh, you're saying it might not be needed for WrestleMania. Ill Fan from the Black Wrestling Podcast said on YouTube that he felt like last year taught them how to book the Royal Rumble. It's not just about the spots. It's about the stories as well. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you got to think about it like this. Everything about wrestling is storytelling, right? And if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, when we talk about spots, a major player is not going to be in this Royal Rumble. This is, I can't 100% confirm this, but I this is what I've been reading. But I did see, like, with the whole Mustafa Coffey storyline, it seems like Coffey's not in it. So when you think spots, there's no Coffey. Yeah, we still got our John Morrisons and stuff like that. But for how long have you remembered, Brian, that you've been like, I can't wait to see what Coffey's going to do. I can't wait to see what Coffey's going to do. So if he is 100% not in it, it is more stories to be open. We can see the progress of Big E. We can see this 1 and 2 right now. It is, will we see Jey Uso? Mm-hmm. Hell, is Roman going to enter himself in a Rumble? I mean, he got that pull. He got that stroke. Who says he doesn't beat Kevin Owens and then goes, you know what? I'm going to put myself in a Rumble. I like that number 30. I want all the gold. I'm going to make sure that I get all this gold by the end of this WrestleMania season.
That's a good point. I heard somebody say that. I was listening. Shout out to Wells Mania for including the Wrestling Realms predictions on their show. It's really cool how they did it. They asked people to submit their predictions, and they put the music behind it and allowed you, you know, and then that's where your voice will come in. And I heard people say Roman Reigns, and I was like, you know what? That wouldn't be a bad idea. He's the head of the table. He's the one who makes sure everybody eats. So why not do this to make sure the SmackDown table is set?
Yeah. You know, and look, I mean, all I'm going to say is this. If Roman does this and pulls this off, not only is he the head of the table at SmackDown, not only is he the head of the table at WWE, but it's like, how much pull does this man have that he can go to Fox? He can go to NBC and be like, I'm taking all of this. This is me. This is me. You know, we haven't seen anything like this. And I mean, look, the streak that Roman's on right now, I'm telling you, if his music hits at 30 and he tosses whoever out, don't call me surprised, because that's what that head of the table do.
Yeah. Shout out to Ron Mexico jumping in. He says Edge will be in the final four.
Look. If you watch that promo Monday, and we all know how Edge can talk, but if you watch that promo,
underrated, by the way,
very underrated. You know, if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, my number one pick to win the Rumble has been Daniel Bryan. And then that Edge promo hit. And then I said, oh, snap. You might have to change that number one prediction, Blake, you know, because. You should never bet against Edge, especially a returning Edge that definitely has nothing to lose and he has something to prove.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think in 2014, it was so obvious they should have went with Daniel Bryan for so many obvious reasons, right? This year is a lot different. The whole company isn't around him, so it's not so much pressure. But like you said, that Edge promo had me believing, like, he could really do it. And I wouldn't be upset if he did or if he didn't, you know. Shout out to my boy Mike Patton of the Sports Awakening said, I'm just interested that Edge has been back and made an impact. And, you know, Mike is somebody who doesn't always watch wrestling as much as he used to. So this goes to show you a lot of stuff what we've been talking about, especially with this NBC deal, bringing in some of the people from previous eras. I know a lot of people are upset about Goldberg, but I want to switch gears to that because me and you haven't had a chance to really, we've discussed it off the air, but it's even better because we didn't go into depth. NBC, Peacock, WWE, your thoughts, and how does what we see at the end of tomorrow night reflect on this deal that's coming up in March?
All right. So I look at this two different ways, which are both success stories, right? All right. So if we look at the numbers, what did it say? It said something around WWE Network had like 1.1 million, sorry, 1.1 million subscribers, correct? That's not good. You know, to have been around for what, since 2014, to have that, it can be looked at as not a good thing. I mean, for us, the wrestling fans, it's good. But if you're looking at a business, it could be we expected more, correct? So now when you go on a platform like Peacock, which is new, but it is under NBC, you know, you're getting a $1 billion deal. You've made way more than what you could have made if you'd have kept that same number of subscribers. Now you're on a bigger platform. You're going to be in more homes. And a lot of people have been saying since the deal how their changes, like we're going to use the Rumble as another example, how their predictions for the Rumble have changed. Like you'll have more people that's like, oh, well, I think Brock Lesnar is going to win. Is The Rock going to come and all that? Because they're on this big platform and you know, you got to have the big names on the billboards, correct? But you also got to look at it, you know, Brian, you know, I'm not going to put your business out, but we've seen it on your Twitter. You know, you're Young and a Restless fan, right? Yeah, you know, you're Young and a Restless, and you are a fan of that. You've been a fan.
I mean, it's
that.
Not putting it out there. I mean, okay. We all know. I put it up there. You know, shout out to Hugh watching it because Hugh Scott is a Young and a Restless fan too. So I'm going down, take him down with me.
Okay, so look at it like this: you have been riding with Young and a Restless for so long because you are emotionally invested.
2014.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Emotionally invested. NBC is filled of different genre of shows that makes you emotionally connected. Mm-hmm. So that is all storyline. So you can also look at it like you might not need the bigger names to make the story get you emotionally invested. Yep. If you have a Daniel Bryan as a winner and he challenges Roman Reigns, we all know this could be Daniel's last ride. We all know he's a father and all that. And if you've heard Roman, he just says some of the most ignorant stuff you can think of. So the story of that alone will have people emotionally connected. People talk about Drew. If Edge were to win and challenge Drew, a lot of people look at it and go, what's that thing that can take Drew to that next level? We saw that promo by Edge, and we know what Edge brings to the table even now. This could be that win or that loss that makes Drew or Edge. And the key term to that is emotionally invested. And if you can get people that have Peacock and that are wrestling fans see these stories and get the glimpse of what it is, you now have that emotional connection to make your deal that you have just signed for even better.
Do you watch The Office?
Yes.
So you watched The Office and you never told me about The Office. I blame you. As many shows you told me to watch, and you never say anything about The Office. So shout out to Justin T. Manning. He was on here the other day and we talked about that. He said you're putting it on a network that basically promotes The Office. Mm-hmm. And so what do I do after, you know, you and I had talked about, hey, you know, having Peacock and what it offers? I turned on The Office and I'm like, man, this show is pretty good.
Yeah.
Using reverse psychology, people who watch The Office that used to be wrestling fans are going to tune in to the network. And the first thing they're going to do is like, well, I wanted to get the WWE Network, but I wasn't going to pay for it. Wait, I get to go back and watch the Attitude Era, you know? Because, and we'll get into Goldberg in a minute. Remember, we can't let stuff go. You know what I mean? Yeah. This generation, we love our 90s, we always talk about our 90s throwbacks, right? Mm-hmm. We wear our 90s TV shows on our t-shirts a lot of times.
All right, hold up. Don't mean to cut you off, but you just set a perfect example. Peacock exclusive reboot of Saved by the Bell.
Bingo.
And guess who watched all those episodes within 48 hours?
You.
This guy.
So loving every minute. If that's the case, wouldn't people think that like those people who love the 90s so much are going to watch the Attitude Era and they say, wait, wrestling's still going on? Well, let me see. Now they got somebody, Roman Reigns. The first thing, let's be real, when the women look at him, they fall in love, so they're going to watch it. And then he's cocky and arrogant, which is making him more attractive. And then there's one thing, when people find out he's The Rock's cousin, they're going to tune in and be like, oh, well, let me see if he's like The Rock, you know. So it's a win-win situation.
And it opens up a door, Brian. A door that was kind of rumored last year, but now is a possibility. Who's to say that come, you know, WrestleMania time, they don't say, oh, breaking news. Night one will not be on Peacock. Night one of WrestleMania will be live 8:00 on NBC.
Ooh.
Let that sink in. The possibility is there. And guess what? This was said on a show that I follow. Shout out to all my homies at Busted Open. Ron McKenna and Brian and Mark Henry talked about this. It also is this. Ron McKenna brought it up. Young Rock starts in the middle of March. It starts only I'm sorry. It starts in February.
What was that?
Young Rock.
Okay.
Have you heard about Young Rock?
Okay. Yep.
Young Rock is coming up in February, you know, just a couple weeks or so before WrestleMania, and it is on NBC. So you never know
what kind of season will be ending.
Yeah.
It'll be something to watch. You know, I know like the NBA is cool, MLB ain't what it used to be. People need something to watch. So this is gonna be good. And that brings me to the WWE Universal Championship match. I tried to record a podcast, realized that I had muted the output. That was the issue. So it must not have been meant, but guess what? I get to do and get my point across. Goldberg, he's challenging for the WWE Championship. He's never been a WWE champion. People are upset, but I said this, WWE Universe, you put Goldberg in this situation. You're the reason that he's here, because every time Goldberg goes on there, those numbers skyrocket.
Mm-hmm. It's a business.
Mm-hmm. What are the chances he walk away as the new WWE champion?
Oh, it is a 50-50 chance. It is like
that's really what I'm thinking.
Yeah, this is 50-50. It all depends on what you want out of your main event of WrestleMania. And this isn't a knock on Drew, it isn't a knock on Goldberg, anything. But if I'm a guessing man, Roman is night two main event. You know, I could be wrong, but he's night two main event. But we're still talking about two nights of a main event. Or like we said earlier, we could be talking about unification. You know, and it's one of those things of what matches up best for what you want. And then we still got a wild card. Look, with this whole Goldberg Drew thing, you know, a lot of people look at it. If you look at Goldberg, I think the longest match he's ever had is 9 minutes in his entire career. In his entire career, I think the longest match is 9 minutes. I don't know. It might have been. That kind of makes you want to watch that Nitro. It could have been.
Oh, Starrcade?
It could have been the Brett match.
Okay.
The unfortunate Brett match. 9 minutes is his longest match. So, but there is a unique twist in this. If at any point, if you want this match to go longer than 8 to 10, which I don't think it should.
It was Triple H. Unforgiven 2003.
Of course it was Triple H. Why would I ever bet against him? You know, he's done everything. Right. But. If he can't go that 8 to 10, there's a wrinkle. There's a guy with a briefcase that can easily make this a triple threat and take the slack off. But my heart is telling me that Drew's going to get this win. If I could have it my way, I would want Drew to win in 3 minutes. You know, let him get speared, kick out, go for a spear, miss, turn around, claymore, 1, 2, 3. There's your whole match. You know, that's just me, you know, but I don't think I'd get my way. But it is a 50-50 chance, but I think that they have gold in Drew. I think a lot of people are very unappreciative of Drew's run because of the era that we in. But the guy has done a lot in 2020 and going in 2021, and he needs to be going into Mania as the champion. And this is just my opinion.
You know, it's funny. Ron Mexico says Edge versus Goldberg would be a big money draw. Huge chance I could see Goldberg versus the Royal Rumble winner. Hughes says Goldberg goes over. And Mike Patton, the Sports Awakening on YouTube, says, can we get the whole entrance when he come in with WCW? What I'm seeing is this. I just have a hard time believing you brought him up, The Miz. It's hard for me not to see Miz cashing in at WrestleMania. I know it's been done before with Seth Rollins, but if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Miz, or he could do so before. If you remember a few years ago, I believe it was him and Dolph Ziggler and somebody else at a what's that thing when they sit down, table for three. And he said he wanted the main event WrestleMania again. And be in the championship match. And people, he said, I know people don't believe me. Now, mind you, this is the chance where the time when Miz is floating in the mid card. We just brought it up. Peacock, NBC family, his show.
Miz and Mrs.
Miz and Mrs. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about business and social media numbers. Let me put the people on some social media game, right?
Oh, yeah. You tell them, Brian. Let's hear that knowledge.
Everybody always wants to talk about ratings. Even that guy, DM, always talks about ratings this and ratings that, TV this, Nielsen that. Mm. It's not about the ratings. It's about the social media engagement. For those who do not understand, engagement is, yeah, the tweeting is cool. And the trending, but when they see people replying to a tweet, I put out a tweet last week about Bianca Belair. And when she lifted Otis, I tweeted, I wanted non-wrestling fans to see how this beautiful black woman was able to put this man on her shoulders and utilize her strength. Mm-hmm. I had over 200 plus retweets. That's engagement numbers. Mm-hmm. That's the numbers that WWE is looking at. So when they see tomorrow, if Goldberg is out there and they see those engagement numbers drive up, good or bad, they gonna be paying attention. When Miz, good or bad, you know, and I'm loving the Miz. He's found his way, you know, and Hugh brought this up. It would make sense to have Bryan in the main event at WrestleMania, and Miz cash in.
I was now, just gonna say that. I was gonna say if
you want Miz to never go away with that story.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Bryan. If you think the Miz is cashing in at WrestleMania, then you better call Daniel Bryan and be like, don't win WrestleMania because he's going to ruin your moment. He's going to ruin your moment, and it's going to be a great slash miserable moment all in one.
Hey, look, you remember SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that again. Oh, my God. But it's hard for me to see him even cashing in anywhere near Roman. To me, as much as I want to see Daniel Bryan win the champion, win the match, the Royal Rumble, I don't have to see him win the championship. I don't want to see that title leave Roman Reigns until there's a next guy who is ready to be made. Whether in, I would vote Big E next year, but I would want to see a real, like, somebody really slaying him, not somebody we've seen before. How about you?
I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to tell you what I want to see. And you know how a lot of people have been bringing up The Rock. You know, I don't think that The Rock wrestles at this year's WrestleMania, but I think that we could get Rock. This is what I would want to see. Rock as the special guest referee for Roman's match. Mm-hmm. Whoever it is, whether it's Daniel Bryan, whether it's Bryan Waters, it doesn't matter.
I'd take the payday.
Of course you would. I'd make you take the payday. I would like to see Roman get that win at Mania and him just look at Rock and he's like, hold my hand, put my hand up. Let him know who the real head of the table is. And Rock just looking at him, just biting his tongue, and that tension just sinking, and just let it linger all the way till Mania. Rock don't got to show up and all that, but just sprinkle it in a little bit and let them have that. You know, that's what I would want to see. I personally don't think we're going to see Rock at a Mania until they're in L.A., you know, even though, you know, Texas is an amazing field and all that. But come on, L.A., Rock. But, hey, look, we got new Peacock money.
Hey, but Texas money. Was his last match, right?
Yes. So, you know, so, I mean, that's what I want to see.
I'm just thinking, how sweet would that have been if it was against Luke Harper?
Oh, yeah, that'd have been great.
I just thought about that.
Like, how great would that have been? You know? Oh, man. But, yeah, you know, I am big on what you're saying, next man up. And on SmackDown, we see it. We see this whole land of opportunity and how quick your career can change in SmackDown. Like, if you look at SmackDown, all it took was 3 weeks, and now people are like, I think Shinsuke's going to win. It took 2 weeks, and they're like, well, is Cesaro going to win? That's all the music change. You know, Cesaro gets one win over Daniel Bryan, they're like, he's a favorite. You know, like, that's the power of SmackDown. But, you know, for
but you
Roman,
know what that also is, though, real quick? That's the brilliance of booking. I know that's in your territory.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you make everybody seem believable, make everybody seem strong. Yeah. I'm usually not a fan of, like, six-man, eight-man tag matches. Mm-hmm. But understand that, like, you want to keep people a little bit fresh for the Royal Rumble, so you don't want everybody to work as hard. I loved every bit of what they was doing last night.
Oh, yeah. You know, and then, I mean, do I think this guy is going to win? But – no, but I think he looks strong. Even having the ending with Braun Strowman come back, look how great Braun Strowman looked. This is the best, you know, look he's had his entire career. So if you're a new fan or whatever, you see that big dude, you're gonna be like, oh, I want him to win. You know,
for some reason, he is my daughter's favorite wrestler. Shout out to her. Her birthday is on the day of the Royal Rumble. Shout out to you. Your birthday was this past week. So
yeah, thank you. It was Wednesday, and I thought I could get a. I thought I was gonna get like a double birthday gift because I got to see my homies MSK event. So I was like, oh, that's part one. But then
shout out to them.
Yeah, but then Aaliyah lost, and I was like, damn it. Couldn't go two for two. Couldn't go two for two.
You know, man, MSK, man, I love him. I love been a fan. Obviously, you know, and shout out. I'm not sure if it's WWE name yet, but I'm going to call him Desmond Xavier.
Yeah.
I remember when he was a student of yours and just sitting there, and I was like, in the locker room, I was like, hey, yo, check out that kid. He's just sitting there.
Yeah.
After his match, he opened the show. Most people, you know, lollygag, go around, whatever. And he just sat there and just legs crossed, still in his gear, taking it in, in business. This is a show with Derek Frazier, Ruckus, Adam Cole. Christy Hemme was at that event.
Yeah.
All this, I don't know if you remember. I mean, you've been to so many. But
I remember because I remember he was one of the ones. Not only was he taking it in, he was sitting there watching the screen, watching the other matches.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what I mean, you know. And now look at him to see him on NXT. Mm-hmm. Now he's a Browns fan, so that's where we got a little bit of beef, but nonetheless. But to see Braun Strowman, like you said, like I said, for some reason my daughter was like, I like Braun Strowman, but you look at him. I mean, for kids, they like larger than life hero. And that's what he did. And I was happy he had a Universal Championship run. Shout out to Roman, said, hey, man, off screen, off kayfabe, it's your turn now. Mm-hmm. But boy, oh boy, when Roman came back, he said, come on.
Yeah, time to go back to work.
Yeah,
time for the money. You know, and also, Brian, there was another big return this week. Well, in my heart, it was a big return. I don't know how all the fans feel. That a lot of people are not talking about because they might not have wrestled, might not have watched the event. But on the what was it called? The Superstar Spectacular or whatever.
Oh man, that was a good show.
Yeah, all I'm gonna say is Madhade Maharaja. He was back. He was back. And when he came on, you know, a little tear came from my eye, you know, because I enjoyed his title run. He might have got done dirty. But guess what? He's another one that has a story with Drew. With Drew.
He really get done dirty?
Yes, he got done dirty. He got done dirty because, man, they made him goofy. He ain't need to be goofy towards the end. When he was serious, Madhade Maharaja, you know, all his stuff, you know, it was perfect. Uh-huh. Get that man another run. You know, he looks like $1 million.
You know, I'll never forget the night before you and I had talked, and you was like, don't be surprised if Mahal wins that title. I'm like, what? And I was like, you know, wait a minute. And I believe Hugh was over my house. And it was like a big shock. And that's the thing. And at the end of the day, this is all I want from my Royal Rumbles. I was looking at some of the old ones, right? And I was like, okay, 2013, we all knew Cena was winning. We was getting Cena versus The Rock again, you know. But there have been some where it's like, who could win it? And I kind of feel this way about it this year. And I felt that way a little bit last year. Even though, you know, Drew was like, it made sense, but it was like, are they really?
Yeah. Are you sure this is going to happen?
Yeah. You know, so that's the thing. And at the end of the day, that's what you asked for in the Royal Rumble. You don't want to be predictable.
Yeah. Like I look at this, like I've had so many people ask me like, you know, who's your pick? Who's your pick? And I can't just give like one pick, you know, like I've been giving people more so two picks for each brand, you know, and why it would make sense. Like we talked about Daniel Bryan. We talked about Edge, you know, I think one of those sleepers is Sheamus because the whole thing, you know, we still haven't got the whole thing with him and Drew. And then, you know, somebody that a lot of people have been leaving off is Seth Rollins. Who knows Roman better than Seth Rollins? So, you know, there's so many different avenues you can go. We still got Big E, you know, we still have Jey Uso. Hell, we got Jimmy Uso, you know, if Jimmy comes back. So, I mean,
that's what I want to see right there, a showdown.
What happens?
Are they going to come together or are they going to go at each other? Yeah. And then what if Jimmy wins? And what if we get as good as that story was? This may seem far-fetched for some people, but as good as that story was between Jay and Roman, one of the best stories told in the past 5 years, what if they give that to us with Jimmy?
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I said, as much as it's going to feel different for this Rumble, in my recent memory, this is one of, if not the most unpredictable Rumble for the men and the women. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it is very unpredictable who's going to win this year.
Well, you know, shout out to Everything Pro Wrestling watching. Shout out to Sir Tizzy. He just dropped a new single.
Oh, snap.
and for those who do not know, Sir Tizzy and Blizz right here did Lee Johnson of AEW's theme music. So if you haven't done so, make sure you check that out. Run it up, where the money reside.
Mm-hmm. Where the money reside.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm cool enough. But Women's Royal Rumble, we got everybody is picking Bianca Belair. And I'm going to be honest, it scares me because usually when somebody always picks one person, it seems like it's always got to be a swerve just so that you don't think you're smarter than the business.
Yeah. Okay. This is another one of those instances where if you just asked me 2 weeks ago, I'd 100% said Bianca Belair. Mm-hmm. But because of Friday and because of the Peacock deal, my thoughts have kind of changed a little bit, you know? If you look at the face of Bayley when Bianca was talking, you know me, Brian, I study facial expressions.
You always have.
And the whole time I'm like, Bianca's going to get eliminated by Bayley. I was like, Bayley's going to screw Bianca, you know? So that went through my head. And then with the Peacock deal, you know, all these people are like, oh, Ronda. And I'm like, Ronda, who's to say that Becky's not ready? You know, look, Becky technically never lost her title, you know, and that sets up for that. And then now we have another monkey wrench with Alexa Bliss, you know, where Alexa Bliss, you know, depending on which kind of Alexa Bliss we get, one of them's kind of unstoppable. And the story is already there with her and Asuka. And for people like Brian and people that follow the indies, the story is written. If Asuka, we know her when she was Kana. And a lot of people saw when she went to her dark place where she would have the scary face paint and the mist and all that. Who's to say she can't go to her dark place and face the darkness with the darkness? So, and then, you know, and I'm sorry to say all these and thens. Brian, you know that sometimes we've seen in WWE, I like to call it the mulligan, right? Where, for instance, it felt like last year it was all Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler. And then Charlotte won. And we've seen when sometimes when that happens, it comes off. And I'm not saying this is what happens, but it comes off like WWE could be like, hey, sorry about that, Shayna. We're going to give you that win back. You know, so who's to say Shayna doesn't get that win back? Who's to say Rhea Ripley doesn't debut and win? The options are there for that, too.
What about the lady they just signed who's the boss over in Japan? I can't remember her name, but you know what I'm talking about.
Shiri?
Yeah. And you brought up Asuka, and that's what made me think about her. I know a lot of times WWE doesn't really jump over into that space because they got to take some time to introduce to a new audience, right? Mm-hmm. But Aja Kong, that was her name.
Okay.
The other day when we was on the phone, and I couldn't remember.
Oh, yeah.
But we saw that with Aja Kong and Alundra Blaze. It's just that it's so unfortunate that they was never ever to play out that storyline. It looked like at the Survivor Series 95 that we was going to get an Aja Kong versus Alundra Blaze story. Mm-hmm. And it was already written there, right? Well, Asuka is a star here, right? She needs somebody that's believable. What if it's this woman?
It could be Shuri.
Way out there, but who knows?
I'll throw another monkey wrench in there for you. There's a young lady that's a free agent, and she just got arrested and taken away on Impact by the name of Taya Valkyrie. Who's to say Taya Valkyrie can't debut and win this? You know,
I was about to say Arion. I was hoping. She's getting arrested. She's got a new album.
No, a new
single. But you know, I'm. It seems like it's so obvious Bianca's going to win. I really don't like touching the Becky Lynch thing because I don't even want to be honest with you. I don't even want to think about her. I just want to think about her being a mom and, you know, bringing that up. I feel like it's like, even though we're not rushing it, I just want to make sure that's clear. We're not rushing it. Yeah. But that's the reason why I just don't touch it. But I do think this is a huge opportunity for us to see, you know, somebody, a new star being made. But, you know, Bianca, I mean, she had, it just feels like everything's falling in order. And like you said, when I saw Bailey's face, we all know, last one down for at the go home show, first one up. And heck no, do I want to see Tessa Blanchard debut, as Ronald Mexico say, I would turn off the TV quick, fast, and in a heartbeat. The only person in the business, besides Sami Callihan, that I can't stand.
Oh boy, tell him. Okay. Hey, well, look, you gotta look at it like this too, Bron. So before everything happened in the world, what was everybody talking about? Everybody was talking, we want Bailey and Sasha at Mania. We want Bailey, Sasha at Mania. We may get Bailey and Sasha at Mania, guys. You know, and look, I'm gonna be honest with you. Deep down in my heart, I kind of want Bailey to win. Because just for the simple fact of, I still to this day don't think that Bailey gets the respect that she deserves as being one of the four horsewomen. And I think I don't. Even like when, you know, when they're like 2020, who was the best wrestler and all this. And, you know, I think Sasha did a fantastic job. But people really are acting like Sasha, I mean, like Bailey did not carry a lot when nobody was here.
You can't name, to me, you can't name Sasha number one and not name Bailey number two. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Sasha just because of, to me, that win over Bailey was right there, was for the crown, right? Mm-hmm. Because they had both done so much. So to me, while Bailey did hold the most titles, it was like they was kind of even because they were aside each other. But that right there said, okay, whoever wins this is the number one and the other one is number two, because the two of them carried, not just Sasha,
yeah,
two of them carried us through a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And to me, Bailey is Bailey's the best wrestler out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Charlotte's the biggest superstar. I think Sasha has the most swag, and I think Becky is the most last kicking. You know,
that's a good example.
They all have their strengths, right? Because we remember, I was looking at it. Who's the first two entrants in the Royal Rumble ever? Sasha and Becky. At that time, nobody was looking at Becky as this showstopper. Yeah. Now, all four of them are showstoppers. Yeah. You know, and I can understand what you're saying, Bailey not getting her respect, but I think it, for me, it's more so that she will probably, because she's such a good wrestler and maybe to other people don't have that crossover appeal, she'll always kind of be with the Mick Foley of the four. Like if you look at, if there was a four horsemen of the Attitude Era, right? Some may say Undertaker, but when you really think about it, to me, during those primetime months, the people who held the titles was Austin Rock, Triple H, and Mick Foley with sprinkle a little bit of Kurt Angle, but that was later. So Undertaker really held it in the mid card, the middle of it, right? So to me, she's in that Mick Foley part, you know, where I think she will be respected. Charlotte is the one that everybody's like, okay, she's the total package deal, pun intended. But I think we've seen Sasha make herself more of a crossover appeal and try kind of catch up with Charlotte, and that's where Bailey has to do. I think she needs more of those mainstream, if she wants those mainstream opportunities, because I think she can definitely cross over.
Oh yeah, I think all four of them could cross over, but I think you hit it on the head. I would say the same thing. I would say Charlotte is all around the best. Like you said, Sasha, I think, is the best crossover appeal. Which entertainment wise, I think is Bailey, and then pure wrestling, entertainment wise is Becky, pure wrestling is Bailey, you know, and that's great for all four. You know, but what separates Bailey from Solid is Bailey winning this year's Royal Rumble, and then she can say, ha ha, I'm back at number one, Brian, you know, so, you know, but, hey, you know, but like everybody, I would not be upset with a Bianca win or a Rhea Ripley win. I think anything that keeps this fresh, I think that the Raw roster needs it a little more than the SmackDown roster. Mm-hmm. I think both rosters kind of need it. If you compare both rosters to NXT, like NXT is like up here where you can't see my arm and the other rosters are here. And that's not talent. It's just the way it's being presented, you know? So I think that to add something fresh into it would be great, you know, and it'd be great for, you know, like a Nikki Cross to win, you know, but and put her back on SmackDown. You know, it'd be great to see Naomi come back. There's so much that, you know, I think's on the line. I think we are going to see some surprise faces we haven't seen maybe in a couple years make their returns.
You know, you brought up Alexa Bliss, too. Mm-hmm. I would love to see her pull a Faces of Foley type of deal. Mm-hmm. To see if she would, you know, but technically she still goes by the name. If mm-hmm. she was the official Sister Abigail, it would be tight to see her do that.
Yeah. I would like to see every time it looks like she's about to go over the ropes, the lights go out, they come back on, and then she's back in the ring as the other character.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I would like to see. I think once again, like Alexa Bliss, I think she's very, I'm not going to say underrated. I'm not going to say underappreciated, but look at her accolades. You know, her accolades is right up there with the Four Horsewomen, you know, and I think that a Royal Rumble under her belt continues to put her right at the top.
You're being nice. I'm going to go ahead and touch it. I think she is underrated. I think what a lot of times what people say is in the IWC is that Vince loves his blondes. And that mm-hmm. may be true. But I think when I look at her work ethic and I look at her matches, to me, she is doing something great. And Matt Stafford just got traded to the Rams.
What?
Shout out to Corey from the Wrestling Marks of Excellence who just tweeted the group chat. Wow. That's interesting. Wow. But, yeah, I think she puts in the work and gets better, and she's believable, you know. Yeah. There are some people who they tried to get over that still didn't work, you know. But I do like what I'm seeing. I think you brought up NXT. I'm still trying to really get into it, right? I enjoy the matches. I know that the women are putting on good matches. To me, it doesn't have the same star power it did when you had Shayna running around. And I think maybe, I don't want to say it hurt the roster because, you know, like Bianca had that star power. I think that's the part where I'm trying to see is that must-see TV, right? Okay. Like when the Four Horsewomen down there, they were must-see TV. When Shayna Baszler, when Bayley, when Asuka, Ember Moon. And I know Ember's back, but I'm still trying to see them get back to that point because I do know when I turn on, it's going to be a great match, but I'm trying to get it. For me personally, I'm trying to see where's that must-see TV.
I think it's the way you look. It depends on how you look at it. Mm-hmm. I think they are doing something that like Impact does. And this is the way that I explain it. This is like, in my opinion, I think NXT is the best pure wrestling show on TV, period. Mm-hmm. Out of everybody. But I think when you look at that women's roster,
which one though?
Oh, well, okay. Normal NXT right now. Okay. NXT UK will get that spot by this time.
Man, they doing some good stuff over there.
And they always have. You know? You told me
like, nah, man, you gotta, like the pay-per-views are good, but watch it every week.
You need to watch it every week, you know? But so this is what I mean about how they kind of take a page out of Impact. This is something Impact has always done, and this is why people need to respect the knockouts. And this is why I've always said for a while, the knockouts have always had the best division. They're doing something right now where at any point it feels like almost anybody that is featured on NXT that is a women's wrestler can be the world champion. They can defend the title, you lose the title, or keep the title and keep defending, right? And when you have a roster that feels as equal base as this roster feels right now, that's when you know you got a great roster. Like, if you look at it, I think comicbook.com announced the main event for the takeover on Valentine's Day. And it's Io Shirai defending against Mercedes Martinez and Toni Storm. So if I say that to you, Brian, I go, who's going to win? What's your answer going to be?
So Io Shirai.
Okay, so you would say Io Shirai. If I were to ask, like, I don't know, my friend George, he would probably say Mercedes Martinez. If somebody said, Blake, who's going to win? I would go Toni Storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's three women that at any point, any of them could be the champion. You know, and I think that's what's happening. The star power is more so being developed, and it's there. Like, Toni has that je ne sais quoi. You know, Io Shirai has that je ne sais quoi. Raquel Gonzalez is starting to develop it. Xia Li is starting to develop it. You know, so it's like once it all starts to melt in, you might be able to see it more. And it's also a point of you're seeing what these fresh faces are going to be able to develop in. So when it's time for them to go to the main roster, and if given the right direction, they'll be able to get that flame. And we'll see that if the biggest example is if we see a Rhea Ripley, you know, if we see Rhea and she does finally go to the main roster, you know, if she flops, then we know it's the writing. Yeah. You know, like it has to be because the girl is a star, you know, it's just like a Bianca, you know, so I'd say just give it a chance, you know, and just keep watching the development of it. And then ask yourself how you feel 6 to 8 months from now.
You know, add to the million things that's serious that I hate about the pandemic in the entertainment. One of the things I hated about the pandemic is the fact that we couldn't see it really play out with Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. Mm-hmm. The whole story of, yeah, you're winning matches, but can you win in front of 60,000 fans, right? And can you just imagine Rhea Ripley wrestling at WrestleMania? Win, lose, or draw, as they like to say, it would have been a big deal and would have shined so much brightness towards the brand, you know? But it is what it is. And like I said, I know I'm excited. I know it's good wrestling down there, but I'm really excited to see what happens. I want to see the tag team titles be taken serious. And, you know, and I think that's a missed opportunity because you remember when Sasha and Bayley came, that was their promise to go to all the shows. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like we only see them on Raw, and it's really no excuses now. You're all in the same building.
Yeah. And this is what I hope they do. I think the winners of the women's Dusty Rhodes tag clashes should get a shot at the tag team titles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it goes my way, Raquel Gomez and Dakota Kai wins this whole thing. They go get them damn titles, and they defend it everywhere, and then they eventually lose it to the Riot Squad. Then the Riot Squad, I'm not going to keep giving this booking. It's not giving this for free. You know? Look, if you want it, you hire me. You know, I'm not going to give you it all for free, but I just gave you your two next champions, WWE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So before we get out of here, any final thoughts? You know, Royal Rumble's tomorrow. This is it's even though your birthday was the middle of the week, it's still your birthday pay-per-view. So what would be the perfect booking for the Royal Rumble? What would be the birthday booking? If they said it's your birthday gift, what would it be? And whether it's people may think it's outrageous or not, what would it be for you?
My perfect booking would be Riddle and R-Truth in the ring, and Riddle trying to offer R-Truth donuts. R-Truth thinking that Riddle is trying to come for his title and he's confused. And then as that's going, it's saying 3, 2, 1, the buzzer goes off. Rob Van Dam comes out. Rob Van Dam takes the donuts. RVD and Riddle both eliminate R-Truth and realize they do the doink. Remember when Doink was wrestling Crush? Yeah, and they realize it, and they both look like high as a kite. And they're
WrestleMania
like,
9.
Yeah, they're just looking at each other, and they're just like, bro, let's do this. And they wait for the next guy. There's my perfect booking. There it is. That is my perfect book. No, in a perfect world, in all seriousness, I would love to see a Final Four be a mix. I would love to see Edge, Big E, Daniel Bryan, and Seth Rollins. A good mix of like, oh man, are they going to really give it to Seth again? And then at, oh, well, they may give it to Daniel. Like, I would like to see a mix like that where it's four people that you all kind of bet on and you don't know which one they're going to go with.
Yeah.
That's my real perfect booking.
All right. All right. We're going to see, man. It's the Royal Rumble. It's tomorrow night. The road to WrestleMania is right in front of us. It's going to look different this year. Remember, I said I thought we would be paying for the Thunderdome by now. I'm not going to be in there. I'm going to enjoy the Royal Rumble, but I expect Twitter to explode tomorrow night one way or another.
Yeah, and hopefully, and I say this with all due respect, hopefully it's not exploding up. I cannot believe Goldberg just won the WWE title.
Or won the Royal Rumble.
You know, like, please just don't do this to me, man. Like, my heart can't take it. A lot of my friends have given me some amazing sweets for my birthday. And, like, I don't want my heart to explode, not because of the sweets, but because of that happening.
Oh, man. Let the people know where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at ITSBLIZ. It's Blizz, and I will give Brian this exclusive. Be on the lookout. I cannot say when, but sometime soon you may hear another collabo from Sir Tizzy and I on something special that we've been working on.
Ooh, breaking news right here on Break It Down with Brian H, keeping it 100. All right, folks, get ready to get out of here. Brian H Waters, you know where to find me, at Brian H Waters. Follow at Wrestling Realm. Make sure you tweet us, me or and the real Dwayne Allen will be live on the feed giving you our thoughts on the show. Till the next time, Brian H. Waters, so long, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Break It Down with Brian H. Hit the subscribe button and turn on the bell so you get notified every time the Wrestling Realm posts new content.